And I'm Dave. Welcome to Don't Screw It Up, a guide to pregnancy and parenthood by people figuring it out as they go.
Each episode, we'll grapple with the fact that someone is going to be depending on us to keep them alive and explore exactly what that means.
This episode is called Not Very Photogenic.
So we'll be talking through the experience of our first visit to the doctor, or my first visit to the doctor, and then getting an ultrasound after that.
Cool. So, you know, we found out we were pregnant, talked about that in the last episode, but I really didn't know when we actually involve a doctor, like at what point it becomes medically official that we're having a kid. So maybe talk a little bit about the timeline of reaching out to a doctor and, you know, what they told you about.
Yeah, so I didn't know either. I essentially just contacted my primary care physician who I've met and visited for a bunch of other things. And I just emailed her and I was like, hey, so I'm pregnant. Yay. What do I do now? So she set up an appointment with her to essentially do some prenatal information. I didn't actually know what that meant. I thought that maybe it would involve an ultrasound. Maybe they would check and test to make sure that I actually was in fact pregnant. I didn't know what to expect.
Okay, so they didn't really tell us anything about the baby at that point, right?
No, yeah. So I went to the appointment and she handed me a giant packet of pregnancy information. My physician group makes this pregnancy recommendation of this is what you should expect when you're pregnant, and these are the things that you should eat and shouldn't eat, and blah, blah, blah. Like all of these details that, you know, at some point in time I will read.
So just post-sex ed.
Yeah, exactly. Now that you're pregnant, oh my God, here's a deluge of information. So I have all of that to look forward to throughout all of these episodes. I'm sure that I will be citing things from that giant packet. But more than anything, I think it was a really good appointment to assuage a lot of my concerns mm-hmm. about pregnancy and really just ask questions.
Cool. And so I guess a big part of that is they set you up with the ultrasound, right?
Yeah. So that happened the week after, and Dave was actually able to join me for that one, which was great.
Yeah, I really wanted to be at that.
Yeah, so it was super early in the morning. We went even before work, so, I mean, we showed up for work on time, so no...
Yeah, that was a plus.
No impact on our day at all. But it was pretty interesting. So we went and walked into the ultrasound lab tech area.
Yeah, I had really high hopes for this. This was supposed to be this very meaningful, super exciting first parental experience. Mm-hmm. I was going to go in, you know, see my future kid for the first time. This is one of those TV moments of having a baby.
Yeah.
And it was really cool. It was awesome.
Well, we were super excited. We were walking to the clinic together. Yeah. We're like, oh my God, I wonder what we're going to see. I wonder if we're going to see a heartbeat. I wonder if we're going to see features on this little blob of ours.
Maybe it would look like me.
Already. Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
Totally.
And it was. It was super awesome. But the tech was really lame. This is a person I expected if you do ultrasound techs. I guess I pictured somebody who's super excited about babies all the time and wants to just hug all the new parents and squeal with glee. Oh my God, look at your little lump. But I don't know. She was just kind of clinical, I guess is the best way to describe it.
To be fair, that was her job.
I guess so. But, you know, find some joy in your job.
Yeah, I totally 100% agree. Dave was really trying to lighten the mood, though. He was making jokes and talking about trying to find life on Mars.
They were scanning around. It looked like a barren surface of Mars. Looks like Mars, and you're doing the same thing, right? Looking for life on another planet. She did not find me funny.
No, she didn't. I found you hilarious.
Okay, well...
But- that's probably why I married you, so.
I should hope so.
Screw you, I'm hilarious.
I am hilarious. And I've got an excuse to make dad jokes now.
Oh, God. He's now increased his dad joke output by like tenfold, at least.
I think that's like, I don't know, 40% of the reason I'm excited to be a parent. I now have justification for making dad jokes.
50% of that is also Legos.
Yeah. The 10% left for actually caring for a child.
Yeah, etc.
Legos are awesome.
So let's describe this first ultrasound appointment. I put on my paper dress. It was all scratchy and kind of ill-fitting and kind of gross. And then sat on the table and like legs up in the stirrup and all that stuff. And so she did the typical ultrasound that I was expecting, you know, putting that jelly stuff on your stomach and then kind of like searching around the surface of your stomach looking for something. And nothing.
I mean, I guess when you're this early, like there's not a very big blob to look for.
No.
No.
She told me ahead of time that I had to like drink a whole bunch of liquid. So like maybe the bladder would push things up and they'd be able to see something, but nothing. And for a split second, I was like, oh shit, we might not be pregnant. Maybe this is all sort of like a false positive or something.
Maybe you're just getting fat.
I really hope not, because I have constant food baby syndrome right now.
So it turns out there was actually a baby in there, which is why we're continuing to do this podcast.
Yes. Otherwise, we probably would have quit. But then she did another ultrasound. It was this pokey proddy thing that sort of went in my vagina.
The transvaginal ultrasound.
So there's a real name for it, but I call it the pokey proddy thing.
Transvaginal.
You're so clinical. Ugh. So it's kind of like a pap smear a little bit. So instead of the cold metal duck lips that go up your vag and they kind of do the scraping inside and stuff like that, it was slightly better than that.
And see, I had no idea that that was even an ultrasound option. Like when they show ultrasounds on Scrubs or House, it's always the just goo on the belly with the little wand on the stomach.
Yeah, it's so cute.
Yeah, adorable. It's never...
They never tell you that they're going to put a dildo up your, you know, vag and look around for life.
Yeah, no parental popsicles.
No. Anyways, so she's poking and prodding that thing around, looking for, like, some little blob or something. And then, you know, Dave was able to see the screen before I was, so I'll let you describe it.
Yeah, so, you know, she's going around in there, and she actually had to point out the blob that is our future child, because I would not have recognized it. I kind of expected, even at 8 weeks, the baby to look like just a miniature human being, or at least like a miniature living thing of some sort, something identifiable, a head, feet, something like that. And so I thought when she pointed it out, I thought I knew what was the head and the body, but it turns out the baby itself was just this little longish blob. And the thing I thought was a head was actually an egg sac or yolk sac. Yolk sac.
Yeah.
Not an egg sac. It's not a fish.
No.
Okay. A yolk sac, which I guess the baby eats this yolk, like a little, you know, prenatal omelet that keeps it alive. So,
and the blob just looked like a little peanut, which I know sounds really cute, but it like really just looked like a blob.
Yeah, I'm glad there was a professional there to point this out. Like, this is your future child. You should love this blob. Okay, we'll love that blob.
So we actually did film this. So yeah. We'll play some of the audio right now so you can hear some of our reactions to it.
It doesn't look like one in there, so you're good to go on that. I'm just going to measure the length at this point. That's what we do early on, to measure the length. And it's consistent. The size is good for your dates, okay?
Okay.
So
it's one and not two, right?
Yeah, it's one.
Okay. You're pretty worried about that.
I was worried about it. I was telling him that I feel like my stomach is protruding more than it should at this time. Oh my God!
Okay, so you heard the audio there, and under Eileen's talking, you could actually hear the heartbeat of our kid. A healthy 160 beats per minute. Very exciting.
Uh-huh. And it was a healthy size, too.
Yeah, normal blob size.
All right. So that blob apparently will be a child at some point in time, and it will be ours. And, you know, this parasite is eating exactly how much it should be eating.
Yeah, I think that was the really exciting part of this visit. There was some trepidation going in because there's a higher risk of miscarriage, you know, early on. I think I've read about 10%. Chance of miscarriage up until you've heard a heartbeat around 8 weeks. And from what I've read, once the kid's 8 weeks old and you've heard a heartbeat, the risk of miscarriage goes down to about 1.5%. And so I think that was the really exciting thing pulling out of this this doctor's visit, is kind of the confidence to, you know, share the news with people soon, feel confident that this is a viable pregnancy and this is likely a child that we are going to see someday.
Yeah. And that heartbeat, just hearing it for the first time, of course it sounded kind of like underwatery and not, it didn't quite sound like the beatboxing, the awesome beatboxing that Dave is doing. It was a lot faster. It was like, which, I mean, you heard a little. I thought that was pretty good.
No, that's a terrible heartbeat
impression.
No,
it was great. So our future child is a hip-hop superstar. Clearly, based off of the heartbeat.
Clearly. Okay, so what's next for doctor's appointments?
So even the ultrasound wasn't technically the first doctor's appointment. I actually have a doctor's appointment tomorrow morning, and I will tell you all about that on the next podcast. But that's the one where they actually do some tests. They make sure that everything is healthy, and then that's the first real appointment with an obstetrician. So I still don't really know what to expect from that either, except that they've told me that there are tests involved, and I think that they just confirm your pregnancy, even though we don't really need to confirm anymore.
Cool. Well, that'll be interesting to figure out whatever they want to tell us.
Yeah. And then, you know, at some point in time, we'll have to figure out whether to stick with an OB or if I want to do the midwife thing, or, you know, I really haven't had much of a chance to think this through, and so early on. So really just kind of getting that first appointment in within the first 7 to 9 weeks as they recommended.
Cool. So like we started last week, we wanted to share some sort of reference of how big this baby is. So we're looking at about 8.5 weeks right now. And the best thing I could find around the house as a proxy for the size of our child was one of those adult gummy vitamins. Now, Eileen wouldn't let me eat one of her gummy prenatal vitamins because apparently it has things I don't need.
Yeah, and the baby needs it more than you do.
You should share.
Eat your own gummy bites.
Okay, so instead I'm just going to eat one of these regular adult gummy multivitamins. So,
And just for your reference, for those listening at home, it is about the size of a fruit snack. So
a pretty big fruit snack.
Big fruit snack, yes. But, you know, I don't know if multivitamins actually come in a standard size.
It seems like they should.
It's also about the size of a raspberry.
Okay, that's a pretty good.
Yeah. But Dave just wanted an excuse to eat gummy bites, so.
That's probably true. Okay, so what are you excited about this week? What are you concerned about?
So now that we actually have the ultrasound, we've heard a heartbeat, we know it's viable, we know that the chance of miscarriage is pretty low, I'm really excited to tell people about the pregnancy. I mean, I am a terrible liar, and I've already had to lie a bunch of times due to happy hours that I've been to and trying to, not drink but not let people know that I'm not drinking, and, you know, just general lies around like why I'm tired and peeing all the time and all that stuff. So I think that's a part that I'm most thrilled about.
I'm kind of bummed about the fact that we don't get to lie as much anymore.
Yeah, but you're better at it than I am. People can see right through me. I guess the stuff that I'm most worried about, this particular week, I am worried about morning sickness. I'm one of those people that have been super lucky so far. The first 8 weeks of my pregnancy so far, never felt nausea, you know, feel pretty good aside from like the sleepiness and whatever, but like generally I feel great. Then I went to a wedding on Saturday, and after jumping around and having a great time, I came back to the hotel and I was like, ugh, keeled over the toilet.
Yeah, you're in rough shape.
It was terrible.
You partied out, dude.
I know. I felt like I was hungover and I didn't even have anything to drink. I just like puked my guts out for like the whole night. It was awful. And then yesterday we had to travel back and our plane was delayed. And I mean, we ended up spending like close to 12, 13 hours traveling. Oh, yeah.
That was a shitty trip back.
Ugh. And I felt sick that whole time. It was terrible. Anyways, I'm really hoping that that doesn't extend beyond that one weird day. I feel great today. I'm hoping to feel great throughout the whole pregnancy. So how about you? What are you excited about / worried about?
So I was really excited to hear the heartbeat. That was a big sort of milestone in making this a little bit more real to me. And the fact that, like you said, that means we can share it with other people. That was super exciting to get some more physical evidence of this thing being real. You know, I think for you, there's the physical feelings of changes. For me, it's seeing that ultrasound, hearing that heartbeat just made it that much more real and really, really exciting to hear that. I think concerns. So when we were traveling, I was kind of coming off a little bit of a cold yesterday too. And it got me thinking about what it's like being sick now as a childless person with few responsibilities. I stay home from work. I take a bunch of NyQuil and sleep all day, and I don't have to do shit. I can just sort of give up on the day for a while. And so that got me thinking about how when we have a kid, I'm going to have to be awake and alert and keeping this thing alive, even if I feel like absolute ass. So I guess just that concern of the fact that once something's relying on us, even when we're out of commission, we can never be 100% out of commission anymore. I think that was maybe a fear that sort of came to the front of my head yesterday when I was sitting there kind of blowing my nose and thinking how great it would be to just, you know, get a lot of sleep and rest up and go back to work not feeling like hot garbage.
Oh. And then to add another layer to it, what if the kid is sick?
Oh, God.
Then sometimes you have to stay home for work just for that.
And it'll probably be puking everywhere instead of you.
Oh, God, all over you.
What if we're both puking?
It'll be like The Exorcist. Its head will just rotate 360 degrees, just puke everywhere.
Yeah, okay. I guess we'll have to deal with that if it comes along.
Guess it's gonna happen.
I feel like by then we'll just be kind of broken and nothing will really surprise us anymore. So we'll just deal with that as it comes.
Yeah, it'll just be one big puke factory. So sorry that we've been talking about nothing but throwing up. Let's talk about something more exciting.
Yeah, let's do our picks for the week.
Okay, so our picks for the week. My pick is well, we talked about it earlier today. My gummy prenatal vitamins. I've been taking these actually since before I got pregnant.
I haven't been taking them.
No, because Dave's not allowed to.
I'm not allowed.
You don't need the extra folic acid and all of that stuff. So the reason why I like these are, well, because they're vitamins that I need for the baby's development, but also they're gummy bears or gummy fruits, I guess. And they're delicious and they're totally easy to find from Target. And they have DHA, which is like omega-3s, and it's for brain development. And it's also got the right amount of folic acid that's recommended, which is like 800 micrograms is what my giant pregnancy pamphlet has told me that I need. And it has that much micrograms of folic acid, which I looked it up. I was trying to figure out what exactly folic acid was there for and whether you could get it through foods. And apparently, like, you can't get enough through food. Like, you actually do need to get it from a multivitamin. The reason why you need it in the first place is because it decreases neural tube defects or, like, like spinal defects. So it helps to prevent spinal bifida and this other disease that I don't know how to pronounce, but anencephaly, which is when the brain doesn't develop. And spinal bifida is when there isn't the enclosure to protect the spinal cord, like when the baby's developing. So you do want to make sure that you get enough of the folic acid. That's super, super important. And these gummy bites will totally help you with that. In addition to that, it's got like other multivitamin stuff. But for those vegetarians out there, don't take gummy bites, because gummy bears, gummy bites, gummy whatever usually is not vegetarian. So just wanna just say that in there.
Okay. Eat gummies. They'll make sure your baby has a spine.
Yeah. Oh, also it's got DHA, which is supposed to improve neural and retinal growth in infants. That's all I had to say.
That sounds good. Nobody wants a stupid baby.
No. No stupid babies. Okay, how about your pick for the week?
My pick for the week is actually something that I saw a while ago. It's a talk from a conference called Baby Driven Development by Allison McMillan. So I actually saw her give this talk live at the Ruby on Ails conference.
Yeah, you heard that right, Ruby on Ails. And for those of you who are software development nerds, you actually understand the pun there.
Yeah, this was a software conference for Ruby on Rails developers out in Oregon. I went out there and drank a whole bunch of beer and listened to a whole bunch of talks. So this was before we knew we had a kid. And so Allison's talk was really just about how becoming a parent was similar to her journey of becoming a software developer, concepts of constantly learning along the way and being surprised and feeling like you never really know enough, but still really being able to produce something that you're proud of. So it was a really cool talk. I was paying close attention to it because we were thinking about having a kid even back then. And I really just like the comparisons between software and having a kid. And it just seems very fun and relevant to my life as somebody who likes software and is about to have a child. So seemed right within my wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. Baby Driven Development by Allison McMillan. We'll provide a link to the Confreaks video of that talk. It's very good. Check it out.
We'll also be posting up a picture of the first non-photogenic baby pic that we have from the ultrasound. So you'll get to see that live.
Yeah. Very handsome.
Yeah.
Or attractive.
A little peanut.
Yeah.
Raspberry.
Good looking blob.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So that about does it for this episode. We'll see you guys next time.
All right. Thank you very much for listening. Talk to you later.